The State Department has been in control in Iraq since January 1st. That's the date it officially took the reins from the Defense Department. But up until that formal handoff, there were questions lingering about State Department's ability to lead a diplomatic mission, especially one on that scale. Some worried the agency simply didn't have the resources or acquisition workforce to handle it. Well, State is now carrying out more than 300 functions that were once undertaken by DOD. It's also expanded its role in contingency contracting. And for the first time, the key officials in charge of planning that transition are speaking out. It's part of our Federal News Radio's week-long special report, Inside the World's Biggest Buyer, How $500 Billion Can Be Spent Better. Gary Mostick is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Program Support. He said the shift from a military to a diplomatic mission was not unprecedented, but he says the devil was in the details.
We speak two separate languages inside the federal government. Just the acronyms themselves drive each of us crazy in the way we deal with business. So that was very, very important. And from a practical standpoint, we had to do that well as well, because in some ways, it is easier for the Defense Department to deal with a foreign nation than it is with the Department of State because of the restrictions and our federal laws that prevent us from pushing resources around perhaps the way we might want to. But from an agency standpoint, we can't.
Now, that transition was a large undertaking for both DOD and State. But Catherine Ebert Gray, Mostek's counterpart at the State Department, said both agencies managed it without adding new staff.
We didn't create any new positions. We did tell people who may have normally been a deputy management counselor, for example, that your portfolio is now going to include the transition, just like with myself. Normally, I'm in charge of the Department of State supply chain and fully engaged then with the acquisition and the transportation and travel. But this was put on top of my workload. The same happened at Post. Very few people didn't keep a dual role, and those that did get a single role were just shifted over from another position, I believe. There may have been short-term support positions, but really no full-time new position as we went through the whole transition.
Now, in the run-up to the transition and even after, some people on Capitol Hill expressed concern that State would be overwhelmed and unable to carry out that mission. The Commission on Wartime Contracting singled out the State Department's inadequate acquisition workforce and a lack of training as areas of concern. But Ebert Gray says the department's challenge was more a matter of scale than skills.
We had a lot of the wherewithal and the capabilities, but we were not used to the scale. And DOD standards were different than ours. And sometimes they were higher, sometimes they were just more complex. So I think when you're talking about scale, that was a fair statement. And that's why we did look at LOGCAP and some of these security contracts to be able to use them, because those scales, were designed. They're designed for treating those kind of scales, and they're very expensive too. So, we were well aware of the criticism, and we felt it was essential that we use the expertise and the offers, the goodwill offered by DOD, to be able to get through this and work smartly by using their capabilities. But I think that many of us felt we would be successful. We think we are successful. We certainly don't hear any criticism anymore.
So what's the next challenge for Mostek and Ebert Gray? Well, to lead the eventual transition in Afghanistan, you guessed it. Mostek says they plan to use what they learned in Iraq the next time around.
The transition in Afghanistan is and will be far more complex than the transition we had in Iraq. I mean, as painful as this was, and make no mistake, this was a challenge that consumed our time and our subordinates' time and our counterparts' time pretty severely. It was a pretty straightforward, primarily DOD, the Department of State, and we were the two big players against the host nation. In Afghanistan, we have multiple players. It appears we're going to have some sort of residual force there for some period of time. The third entity in the room is NATO and the allies. because, again, if you want to husband your resources and do things efficiently and effectively, there is no need to have four different medevac helicopters sending in Kandahar, one for NATO, one for the U.S. military, one for the State Department. You've got to take the time and sort that out early so that we get the efficiencies and economies that we need to get over the long run, because the nation demands that of us. And so it is a bit more complex, a hell of a lot more complex in Afghanistan than it was in Iraq. I am glad, personally, that the transitions went Iraq first, then Afghanistan, as opposed to the other way around.
And that was Gary Motzik, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Program Support, and Catherine Ebert-Gray, the State Department's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Logistics Management. They spoke to Federal News Radio about the transition of power in Iraq as part of our special report, Inside the World's Biggest Buyer,